Let us pray before we begin. Thank you, Lord. Lord, this morning, as your people are gathered here together, we know you are in our midst. And we are so privileged this morning, Lord, to spend this time with you. Lord, we recognize that where your presence is, there is liberty. Where your presence is, there is freedom. Where your presence is, Lord, things change. Everything changes in your presence. We pray in the name of Jesus, amen. Lord, that you will shine your light upon us, your people, that you will open our eyes, that we will see the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. I pray right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you will think through my mind and speak through my lips, Lord, the very words that you want to speak to your people. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' mighty name, we ask and we pray. Amen, amen and amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Right, we have been speaking, or rather the last couple of months, I have been sharing on abiding in Christ. Perhaps it would be good for us to read that passage before we begin, yeah? So let's have that on screen, and let us all read it together, okay? I will read one verse, and you will read your version. Hopefully, we are in sync somehow. Okay, or maybe we just read what's up there, not your version, okay? So we are all speaking one same language, yeah, so to speak. All right, John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. That does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you.
Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me.
I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing.
If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned.
If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Verse 10.
If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love.
These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. May the Lord bless the reading of his word this morning. Amen. Now, in January, I just want to do a quick recap, okay? So just to remind ourselves what has been covered so far. In January, we touch on how that every one of us who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in him, we have come to him and taken the first step when Jesus gave that loving invitation. Come unto me in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, yeah? So we have responded to that when we heard the gospel message, when we knew our great need, when God opened our eyes to see the condition that we are in and what we needed from our loving Savior. We needed a loving Savior. And Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And we all responded to that invitation. We came to Jesus. And guess what? We received the promised rest. Did we not? Yeah? We received that blessed rest, the peace that came upon us, the guilt that was taken away from us, the guilt of our sin and our shame, and the curse of sin and death that we knew was our deserved ending, that was taken away. Amen and amen. What blessedness. And so we were so, that great joy that we felt at a point of receiving salvation from our merciful God. But it is, in like many things in life, with the demands of the daily requirements imposed upon us that life brings, it would soon come to us that what we receive slowly starts to fade away. Is it not? That excitement that we had at first coming to Jesus, that peace that we had, that devotion to God, soon we find that if we are not careful, all right, that peace, that rest that we receive soon starts to fade away, sadly, yeah? But we know that when Jesus said, "Come unto me," he not only meant, "Come to me," but also we needed to abide with him. We needed to be in fellowship with him daily. If we do not have that fellowship, we find that we will soon lose that rest. Yeah? And when we learned, we heard in January that the secret to abiding in Christ is firstly that we have to have time with Jesus. We have to have time with Jesus. And that it requires daily practice of abiding. And to do that, we learn from John 15, verse 4 and 5, that to abide in Christ, we need to visualize, okay, like the vine and the branch, okay, that we visualize as a branch connected to Jesus, and then repeat the verse, "Abide in him and draw from him." Picture a vine and a branch. What does the branch need from the vine? The branch needs the life that comes from the true vine. And so it is that if we were to abide in Jesus, we need to draw from Jesus. We visualize that, and we speak that with our own mouth, confess it with our own mouth, all right? So that is how we begin to abide in Christ. So we come daily to Jesus and we say, "Jesus, you know you are the true vine, and I'm the branch. I need you." Because the Word of God says that if we do not abide in him, we will wither as a branch. We need to draw from him. And so that is how we abide in him. Yeah, that was what we covered in January. And in that same verse, it goes on to say in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30, same verses, it says that not only do we need to abide in Christ, but we needed also to take his yoke upon us and to learn of him. Okay? And then you will find rest for your soul. Now, there is a difference between coming to Jesus and receiving the rest and taking the yoke upon us and learn of him and finding rest. And I give the analogy of how receiving the rest is like being given a fish. When you are given a fish, soon you find that one fish is not going to be enough for you. You're going to have to come back for more fishes. It is just enough for the day, if you like. Yeah? But if you learn how to find fish, or how to fish for fishes, and how to find rest, you will have access to a constant supply of fishes, not only for yourself, but also you begin to be able to supply to other people. Yeah? So we learn that not only is it important to abide in him, but we also needed to take the yoke, to yield ourselves to him, and then we will be able to find that constant supply of rest that we need for our daily lives. Yeah? Now, so the secret to be able to find rest is really to surrender ourselves to him, to yield ourselves to him, all right? To take his yoke upon us and to learn of him. However, it is sadly, we also found that why do we withdraw from yielding ourselves to him? We learned that it is because of our lack of faith and trust in the goodness of God. Because the devil, all right, the deceiver, like from the very beginning in Genesis, we learn, has deceived man to look away from God, to learn to listen to the voice of the devil, who slander the character of God and make us think that God is depriving us of the very best things for us. Yeah? And so it is important for us not to hear the lies of the devil, but we are to look into the truth of God's word. What God says about who he is, the faithful one, the provider, okay, for all our needs. And he has only the very best for us because he is the one who created us, who made us. So let us put our faith and our trust in him. Amen. Now, this morning, after what we covered in abiding in Christ, the question now is, how are we doing? How are we doing? Are we abiding in Christ? Are we abiding in him? Are we having that unbroken fellowship with our Savior? Is it even possible to have that unbroken fellowship with him? Or are we shrinking back because we think it is too hard, or we are too weak or too helpless? We struggle. Is that how it is? Are we? Hopefully, we are saying hallelujah. No, we are abiding with him. Amen. Yeah? But if you are struggling, I have good news for you. Abiding in Christ is meant actually exactly for us who are weak and helpless. It is God's very design for us to abide in him. The trouble with many of us is we think that we must be working. We must be working, doing something for God to abide in him. We must be doing something to prove that we are abiding in him. That's fallacy. That is wrong thinking. Do you have that mindset? Let me just say again. If you think you need to work something, I need to be about doing something to abide in Christ, that is wrong thinking. Okay? In fact, we find that even in the very times of in the time of Jesus, in John chapter 6, the people who came to Jesus, the people whom had in John chapter 6, it was talking about how Jesus fed the people, the 5,000. And they were so astonished, yeah? And they came to Jesus. They came to Jesus. And then they asked, and Jesus said, "You are coming to me because you have received from me the bread." All right? You're coming, you're only coming to me because you have experienced the miracle of the feeding, okay? You should not be seeking for the bread, but for that which does not perish, not on these temporal things. And then they said, so Jesus, in John chapter 6, verse 28 and 29, they asked Jesus, what shall we do that we may do the works of God? They have the same mindset. We must do something. Okay? What must we do? But what was Jesus' reply? Jesus' reply is, no, you don't have to do anything. There is only one thing you need to do. All right? It's not doing. We are not supposed to be doing, but we are supposed to be believing. Believing in Jesus. Believing in Jesus, whom he sent. So the truth is that we need only believe him. Okay? We need only believe him and consent to let him do all for us. Don't try to do things for God, as in to work out something, okay? To abide in Christ. No, we only need to believe and to let him. Amen. Now, let me give you an example. Okay? How did you become a child of God? How did you become a child of God? Did you have to work to be saved? Did you have to work?
No.
Do you have to pay?
No.
No. Then how did it happen? How it happened was we came to a service like this, or you got invited by somebody to come, and you sat down, and somebody preached to you the good news of the gospel of Jesus. Did it not? And what did you do? You sat there, and by the mercy and grace of God, the Holy Spirit opened our ears to hear, opened our eyes to see, and our hearts to receive. Yeah? And then we heard the good news, and we say, wow, thank you, Lord. We believed. Did we not? We believe what the Word of God say. Yeah? And then what did we do? And then the speaker says, if you believe, all right, come forward. And we came forward, or we stood up. And then he says, pray with me, right? And we did that. We confess with our mouth, yeah? We confess with our mouth. And then we experience the goodness of God upon our lives, all right? So too often, we think that we must do more. But no, we don't have to do more. We only need to believe the Word of God and confess with our mouth. Yeah? And it is that simple. It is that simple. Let me give you an illustration. Okay? Now, I was last week or so, I was out there ushering, and Sylvia came and forgot the mask, I think, and then Keith forgot the mask, so he had to go back out to the car to take the mask. So I sat down with Sylvia out there waiting for Keith. And then for some reason, we came to that subject, and I was relating to her this story. The story of Dr. Ignaz Semmelweis, his name. He was a Jewish Hungarian doctor in the 19th century. It was a long time ago, yeah? Who was working in Vienna in a hospital, yeah? And because he was Jewish and he was a Hungarian, working during that time in Austria, during the Austrian-Prussia Empire, which was a big empire in that time of Europe. So there was a bit of a prejudice, right? I mean, Austrian, we are the Austrian-German. We are the great people, right? You're Hungarian, you're further down. So he was actually sent to work in a kind of a department that was not the popular one, right? So he was working in an obstetrician, okay? In other words, he was working in a department helping women during childbirth, yeah? Obstetrician. Now, in those days, okay, in those days, childbirth was a very dangerous thing, okay? Childbirth was very dangerous. If you are delivered by a midwife at home, you had a survival rate of 10, out of every 10, 9 of you survive, one will perish. Okay? Childbirth, 1 in 10. Okay? If you are unfortunate enough, okay? If you are unfortunate enough to deliver in a hospital, you had a 70% chance of survival, 30% chance of dying in hospital. Wow, can you think about that, eh? 3 in 10. Out of every 10 women go to hospital, deliver, 3 of you will die during childbirth or after childbirth. Yeah? If you deliver at home, you have 90% chance of survival. Think about that, okay? So, during those times, it was like, if you are unfortunate enough, the poor people go to hospital to deliver. You have a 30% chance of dying in hospital. Higher risk. Okay? And they didn't know why. They didn't know why. Now, this doctor, Dr. Ignaz Semmelweis, he was a very observant guy, right? So, so he began to notice that a lot of the doctors who were helping to deliver the women during childbirth, what they were doing before the helping the women during childbirth was they were doing autopsy. Okay? They were doing autopsy of the women who died because of childbirth. All right? And so, after they saw those women, those dead bodies, they came and helped the woman to deliver. And guess what they did? They passed the bacteria and the virus to the poor women they were helping to deliver. And that is the reason why the midwives didn't do the autopsy, so it's 1 in 10. But the doctors who were helping the other women giving childbirth in the hospital were dying at almost 3 times, at 30%, basically. So he noticed that. And so he recommended that the doctors, before they come to help the other women, he instituted this idea of washing their hands. Okay? But in those days, he did more than wash hands, but wash hands in some kind of chemicals, all right? But it was simply that act of doing a washing of hands, all right? Okay? A simple thing. Wash your hands. And so now it's standard practice amongst doctors, right? Before, and nurses, everybody washed their hands. Okay? But when he introduced that, the other doctors didn't buy it. They didn't believe that a simple thing like washing your hands make that much of a difference. Okay? Right? And they say follow the signs. But they ostracized him. And sadly for him, he ended up in a mental institution. That was the story, anyway. It's a short story about that, but that's what happened, right? He went against what was common practice, okay? But many people didn't believe that a simple thing like wash your hands make a great change, right? So it is that God says you only need to believe. You don't need to do great things. Only need to believe the word of God, believe Jesus, dramatic change. Yeah? That's how it is. As simple as believing, the Bible says, and confessing with your mouth. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. Yeah? And God in his mercy fulfilled that promise. Yeah? So that is a good kind of example. Right? So whenever you share, you know how it is, right? You share the gospel with people, they all think you are stupid. They think you are stupid. Yeah? Like, much like the doctors. This guy is crazy. Wash hands? Really? Yes. Believe. Amen. And confess. Hallelujah. Huh? So similarly, I wanted to say that abiding in Christ is an act of faith. Do we need to work hard? No. Jesus said, abide in me and I will abide in you. Yeah? It's an act of faith. We believe his word, we confess with our mouth. So when Jesus said, abide in me, thank you, Lord. Confess with your mouth. I, Lord, abide in you. Amen. All right? So Romans 9 and 10, okay? But 9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So when we confess and we believe, the next step that we need to do is we go and do something. No, we wait. What do we wait for? What do we wait for? We wait for God to act on our behalf. That's what we do. Huh? We wait for God to do that which is necessary in our hearts. Okay? To change us. Okay? He works in us, through us, so that he changes us. And then, where we used to struggle, where we used to find that we don't have a desire to read the Word of God, we don't have a desire to pray, we don't want to do this, we wait for him. He will change our hearts. He will change our hearts, okay? And then he will, when we become passive, when we say, Lord, you know I struggle. You know I struggle, and it is true. Who doesn't struggle? Honestly. Do you like reading the Word of God? Good on you, brother. But sometimes it's so dry. Is it not? It's so dry. Honestly, can be very dry. But unless God opens our eyes, it's just a letter. It's just like reading book. You know, whenever I read the book, after a while I go, oh, I don't know about you. My eyes tears. Do you do that? Do you have that? I don't know. Maybe you guys are book readers or reading the Bible. Wow. Excited. Good. Praise the Lord. You have already, God has already done that work in your heart. Oh, man. Yes. That's how it is. God will do that work. And then we will have the desire to read the word. We have the desire to say, Lord, I need to take that time. Yeah? To set aside that time, to seek you, to pray, to do all in the business of our day. Okay? This is real life, right? We have work to do. We have this to do. We have that to take care of. So many things. And if you have a child like Amy now has, hands are full and more than full. Sometimes, yeah? Amen. So, we are promised that our everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he will give strength to those who are weak. Yeah? To those who have no strength, he increase strength. Okay? When we wait on him. We wait on him. We just need to humbly come to him and recognize that on our own flesh and our own strength, it's never going to be enough. No. You know, the young people think that they can do everything. But when you come to my age, you recognize that I cannot do anything. Oh, man, I did. The other day, I just celebrated my birthday and everybody sent me all these nice wishes. And I said, oh, man, it comes too fast. Too many of them. Brother Chris, I love. Oh, man, praise the Lord. Huh? God give us another year. Praise his holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, now, the thing is, do not put the cart before the horse. What does that mean? Okay? All right? Don't work first. Let God work in us first. And then we will have the means. His means that he imparts to us to do. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Okay? Okay. So, abide in me, the words in John 15, abide in me, it is not a commandment of the law of Moses. Huh? That a man has to perform like the Ten Commandments. We've got enough of the Ten already. Huh? From that Ten, we already didn't do very well. We don't need one more. Okay? Am I correct? Yeah. Huh? We already messed up the 10 badly enough. No more, okay? We don't need one more. It is not a commandment from the law of Moses. But rather, okay? Because in Galatians 3:10, it says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So we don't need another law, okay, under the law of Moses. But it is a commandment of love under grace, okay? It is a commandment of love because Jesus knows we need it badly. We need to abide in him, okay? But not only he tells us that we need it, he gives us the grace, the strength to do it. Okay? We only need to believe. He has done the work. We only need to believe and let him do that work in us. Okay? Remember, don't put the cart before the horse. Okay? Let God be the one to work in us. And we trust him. We wait on him. We believe. Confess to him that we don't like to do this. Everyone is made different, okay? Some people, no problem reading the Word of God. Oh, I love to read the Word of God. But when it comes to praying, oh, we struggle. When it comes to sit quietly, we struggle. I don't know. I mean, whatever. Right? We are all made differently. There are areas that come so easily to us, but there are other things that are hard. Yeah? Okay? That's the way it is. God all made us different. All right? But in the areas that we struggle, that's where we need more the grace of God. Yeah? The strength of God to help us. Yeah? But we know God promised us. Okay? God promised us that He will give us the helper to help us, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so now we recognize that abide in Christ is a fruit, not works. Okay? It is a fruit. Okay? We believe His word. We consent to Him to yield to Him, and then we wait. And then God does that work in us. Praise the Lord. That's a promise from Him. He does the work in us. Okay? So that we then are changed. We tap into Him, and He gives us the energy. He gives us the strength. Huh? So we need to be passive. Okay? Don't sit around. I mean passive as to wait for God. Hallelujah. Totally dependent upon Him, and God begins to work on our behalf. And His grace is released to us. His grace is released to us. And when He releases grace to us, there is that accompanying energy that is released into us, that desire that He released to us. Everything that seems to be strength and passion and energy and the ability to do. Where once we struggle, where once we say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I can't do this. I can't do this. But He helps us. Okay? That's a promise. Whatever help we need, all right, He'll release it to us. Amen. And so this is the connection. This is the connection between Christ's work and our work. He works in us, and then we do the work. Okay? And so that's why Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, chapter 2, no, sorry, chapter 3, yes. Chapter 3, verse 12. Okay? He says, can we turn to that maybe? It's good to turn to that. No. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Okay, let's read the second part of it, okay? Okay, this version says, I press on. That I may lay hold of that. Can I have the King James Version? Okay, now we read this verse. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Okay, let's look at the King James Version. Okay, the second part says, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. That's the passage that Paul wrote to make that connection, okay, the connection that Christ worked in me, and then because Christ has worked in me, He has taken hold of my life, all right, and given me that which I then can do. Okay? All right? So, remember, the word apprehend is a big, big word, okay? To me, it's a big word. I don't know about you. All right? But the Greek word for that is the original Greek is katalambano, which means grip, arrest, like a police seize you and arrest you. All right? Because Jesus has already grabbed hold of us. Huh? All right? He has already gotten hold of us, and then he has, because he has gotten hold of us and set us to do the things, then we become apprehended. We also get arrested to do what those things we ought to do. Okay? So that's the connection. Okay? One more time. Jesus work in us, and then we work. We don't work before Christ work. Because if you work before Christ work, which means you are doing with your own strength. And that's where the struggle is. You see that? Okay? All right? So that is remember we read in John 15, all right? Without me, you can do nothing. Without Christ, we can do nothing. So don't try to do it. Yeah? We depend on him. We wait on him. And he will do the work for us. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Huh? So when we are the one doing our work, it is the work of the flesh. Huh? And God doesn't want works of the flesh. Okay? Right? Because there is no glory for him. He wants all the glory. Okay? He wants us to depend on him. Okay? Hallelujah. So, let him who glory, let him glory in the Lord. Huh? Amen. Amen. So he empowers us when we know that he's working for us, and that's how it comes about. Okay? So the in me and I in you gives us that passion, that energy, all right, to then abide in him. So that is the connection. Huh? Now, so I want to come to this part, right? So the best example I can think of how that works is actually courtship. Huh? The first time you fall in love, oh man, it's like your girlfriend or your husband or your boyfriend has gotten hold of you, isn't it? Huh? Is that love got hold of your heart, okay? And then you suddenly find, wow, you can open car doors. You can do the ladies will do the dishes. Yeah? It's love at work. It's a commandment of love, okay? All right? Suddenly you find you want to spend limited, endless hours, okay? I remember, courtship with your wife. Just think back to the courtship, you understand. Yeah? All right? Me and my wife, right? That time, just girlfriend, of course. After work, go to her house and sit there, just to spend time. Endless hours. I know of people who make phone calls, thousands of dollars of phone calls. In those days, phone calls are not like now, free, I'm talking about landline, not even mobile, okay, landline, okay, thousands of dollars, it's crazy, you think, but gee, all for love. But you want to know the sad news? The sad news is, that's human love, and human love fails, okay? They can spend thousands of dollars after get married, 10 years, 5 years, divorced. All right? But we know the love of God never fails. Amen. Hallelujah. Huh? Amen. So that's the big difference. Huh? We rely not on our human love. Human love fails. Okay? But God's love never fails. Amen. So we depend on that. All right? So, the question that was asked, is he able to keep us? Is he able to keep us to continually abide in him? Yes. All right? Because we are not talking about human love. We are not talking about anything connected with with human strength, okay, it will fail. Yeah? So that reminds us that no matter, if you don't want to be disappointed, don't want to be disappointed with your mom or your dad, with your brothers or your sisters, with your wife, your children, with brothers and sisters in the church, with pastors, leaders, don't want to be disappointed, then don't look there. Don't look at the human effort. Look unto Jesus. Look unto God. Huh? He is the only one who will never fail us. Okay? Our brothers and sisters may fail us. That's so we say that song that we sing, Billy Graham song, I've decided to follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Okay? Though none. So let me just end with this. I basically ended, but you know, there was Jesus said, all right, Jesus said, it is better for you to cut off your arm, cut off your feet, pluck out your eyes, all right? All right? So that you can enter into heaven maimed, then have two arms, two legs, and ended in the lake of fire. All right? I don't know how that come about, but that's a reminder to us, huh? That's a reminder to us. We really, really, really need to be aware that we are coming to the last days, okay? We need to be so watchful. We need to be so watchful, okay, of how we conduct ourselves, all right? We want to stay connected to Jesus. We need to abide in him and he in us. He says, abide in me. We tell him, Lord Jesus, we abide in you. We abide in you, okay? So, abide in Christ is meant for weak. Abide in Christ is an act of faith. Abide in Christ is a commandment of love under grace. Abiding in Christ is the fruit of Christ's work so that in us, so that we can work. Huh? So do not put the cart before the horse. Wait for God to do the work for us, and then we will have the strength to do the work. All right? Because his grace is sufficient for us, and his strength is made perfect in our weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I would rather glory or boast in my weakness that the power of Christ may be seen upon me. Amen. So we struggle no more. We despair no more. We just come to Jesus. We take his yoke upon us and we say, Lord, I want to learn of you. I want to learn on you. Learn of you. I want to believe in your word. And I want to confess your word into my life. Huh? And just wait for Jesus. Amen. 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 Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you. You're a good God. You thank you, Lord, for your great love for us. We thank you. You have made everything possible for us, Lord, to come to you. In our weakness, we come to you. Lord, you say, abide in me. We say to you, Lord, I will abide in you. Hallelujah. We need you, Father. We need you, Lord Jesus, in our lives. We need you daily in our lives. Forgive us, Lord, when we forget about you. Lord, forgive us. Lord, may we never forsake you. May we never try to make for ourselves cisterns, broken cisterns that hold no water, because you are the fountain of life. Amen. You are the bread of life. Amen. Lord, you are our very life. Yes. So, Lord, we come to you. We need you in our lives. Lord, let it never be that we forsake you, Lord, or forget about you. Oh, forgive us, we pray. Lord, for those moments that we think we are strong enough to go our own way, that we can do, Lord, We can do it on our own. Forgive us. Let us come to you. Remind us, Holy Spirit, that we need to be connected to you. We need to be connected to you and draw from you the true vine, the life that we need, Lord, the strength that we need, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you this morning. We thank you that you are a faithful, loving God, and we choose to put our faith and our trust in you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise the name of Jesus.